Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. Brother Ken was in this chapter the other day, and I was reading on a little further over in this past where he preached from, and there's a verse really jumped out at me, and couldn't get away from it today, so I penned a few things down that God was stirring my heart about. Maybe it'll be a help, a blessing to somebody tonight. I hope it'll challenge us. We'll read, beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Time out. We got a problem here. Dead battery. Y'all look like y'all got some dead batteries tonight, too. There you go. All right. Now, maybe we can get charged up here. We'll start over here. Chapter 12 of the book of Acts, verse number 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." What are you going to do if you're one of them certain ones that the devil comes after? You going to be able to stand, as Brother Ken's been trying to teach us out of Ephesians chapter 6, that we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand. Otherwise, you're going to get knocked down. "And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword." You ever killed anybody? Better watch your tongue. It's deadly, full of poison. You can kill a brother or sister real easy with your tongue. "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him unto four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Now I want to skip on over to verse number 18, as we know how that story goes there, as Peter was delivered. And verse 18 says, "Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. When Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. When he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, saying, 'It's the voice of a God and not of a man.'" That's God with a little G, by the way. "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose name, surname, was Mark." You can be seated tonight. Father, I love you, and I thank you, God, for speaking to me through the words of this Bible, Lord. I pray, God, you'd give me unction, Lord, and help me tonight, God. I'm a needy man, Lord, as was taught to us Sunday. I need your power, your blessings, your understanding, your wisdom, Lord. Oh, God, we beg your blessings now. Help us, Lord, as a church, to be up and about your business. Draw nigh to us, Lord, and help us, God, to desire to draw nigh to thee. We love you in Christ's name. We beg you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm interested in a phrase here in one of these verses. Before I give you that verse, I want you to notice a thing or two about old Herod here. He was a king is mentioned back over in verse number 1 right there. He was king. He was a ruler. He was a man of power and great authority in that day. And he wouldn't, unlike a lot of politicians in the day that we live, he liked that power. He loved the recognition, the pomp, and the glory that came with being king. And boy, you can see right here, he didn't hesitate to have somebody put to death because he had the power within himself to do it, to give orders and have them killed. And Herod, he was a man right here that the people of Tyre and Sidon were dependent upon him. And their living, their food that they came or that they needed came from him, from his country over there. This story develops right here as the day came that he went down there and these people had a delegation to come and meet with him because they relied upon him and they were kind of worshipers of him. That's kind of typical of people today in the day that we live, ain't it? We're living in a day when a lot of folks are just looking for a handout. They're looking for some way to get out of working and just be dependent upon somebody else. And God never intended for man to be that way. Listen to me. I ain't talking about people that ain't able to make a living for themselves. But we live in a day when there's too many people that's just looking for a handout and not willing to get out and work and earn their living by the sweat of the brow like God said we ought to be doing. There's too many lazy people in this world today, in this country of ours today, that's just looking for a handout. And let me tell you, political leaders like them kind of people. They know if they can hand them something along now and then, just give them a few crumbs along now and then, they can keep them a voting for them. Amen? Amen. That's the day that we live in. But old Herod, boy, he loved the authority that he had. And boy, he came up one day to make a big speech to all these people that was dependent upon him. Got no idea what he had to say to them. They must have liked it, though, evidently, because they cried out and shouted. It says, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. Sound like these... Any of y'all watch the conventions lately? I couldn't help but think about the politics of the day that we live in. If you want something, make me sick now. People put too much confidence in man. Listen, the Bible tells me that God sets men in authority. God sets up kingdoms. God brings down kingdoms. Man can do nothing unless God allows him to do it. Why in the world would people give man glory? But man likes it, don't he? Yes, sir. In these conventions when we nominated these men that's running for president and all the people just flipping out, going goofy over a man. And look back. Would somebody tell me, would you look back in years past at all the promises that politicians has made? Where'd all them promises go? Where's the fulfilling of them promises? We're in worse shape today than we've ever been as a country. Man can do nothing. God is the one that's going to deliver a blessing to us. If America's ever to be blessed, it's going to come by the hand of God, not by the works of man. If America would turn back to God, then we could get blessed again. Oh, God, help us in our country today. God, help us as a people not to put our confidence in the arm of the flesh. The Bible tells us not to. Or to realize where our blessings come from. They gave a shout, saying it's the voice of a God, not of a man. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. Wouldn't it be something if our president was a godly man? Wouldn't it be something if we could get a man in office that would give God the glory so that God could bless us? Be something if God were to just strike him down the way he did old Herod there, wouldn't it? Put the fear of God back in some folks. He gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms. That's the phrase that jumped out to me. He was eaten of worms. I got to studying a little bit. Josephus, he's a Jewish historian, said that the day that he made this speech, He fell sick immediately. They carried him away. He laid in a bed for some 5 days. All the doctors, the physicians of that day could do nothing for him. Worms was eating him up on the inside. And he gave up the ghost. He died. And I guess where am I going with this thought tonight? I want to put a title to you in the form of a question. Are you wormy? Are you wormy? Can I apply it in a spiritual sense? Are you spiritually wormy? What's eating you up? What's killing you spiritually? Huh? Why ain't you on an upward path instead of a stagnant place? In a weakening place? I found out if you're not moving upward in a daily path with the Lord, drawing nigher to Him, drawing closer to Him in a daily walk, you'll not sit still long. You'll be going backwards. You'll get weaker and weaker and weaker, and pretty soon you'll be good for nothing. I want us to look at three things tonight. First of all, I want us to look at the example of Herod, and I want us to look at an examination of self. Then an examination by the Lord. Let's look at old Herod here. What in the world? Why did he get so wormy? First of all, there was a pinnacle. He was king. Boy, he had made it to the top. You know, man today, in the day that we live, it's taught to our children and taught to us to strive and strive and strive and material gain, possessions, reach the top on your job and just go as high as you can go. He'd reached the top. He'd made it to that pinnacle as king, but it went to his head. Sometimes prosperity will take you away from God. Many times. Now listen to me. Don't tune me out right here. Most of the time, money will take you away from God. Amen. Say amen. You get some money in your pocket, you want to get away from the house of God and get out and see the world, do things of the world. And listen, the devil, he's good. If he can't get you to be bad, he'll get you to be busy. Not busy at the house of God, busy with the things of the world. And he's got plenty to offer you, friend. Listen, he put old Herod right here in the position of king. And he had power. The Bible says he was sitting upon his throne over here in verse 21. But what he didn't realize was there's a throne higher above his. There was a throne higher above his that let him have that little puny position that he was in. And he gave not God the glory. You may have a good job tonight. You may have a nice home. Everything may be really prospering down at your house tonight. You better give God the glory. He may let you rise to great material things. He may let you have a job paying you big money. You better give the Lord the glory that's due to His name, because He will not share His glory with anybody. The pinnacle in this example of Herod, the pinnacle of a man. What about the pride of a man? The Bible says pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that includes me, that includes you, and you, and you. You better watch pride. That's one of the biggest problems that we have in our lives today, is pride, pride, pride. Too many times we think we've done something. Too many times we reach things in our life. God sends a blessing our way, and what do? Instead of giving God thanks, we want to pat ourselves on the back. And say, well, look what I have done. Nothing. Nothing. We can do nothing without the Lord. We can be nothing without the Lord. We can have nothing without the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. You better realize it. But Herod, he let pride get in his life right here, friend. The day he went out to make this speech, it says he was arrayed in royal apparel. He put on the best he had. He said, look at me, look at me. I'm fixing to go sit on my throne here and I'm fixing to make a speech. I'm king. You know what you are? You're nothing. I'm nothing. He's everything. Better watch pride in your life. Pride goeth before destruction. Back over there in 2 Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They shall be proud. One of those characteristics was proud. Last days, proud. God has blessed us. If our forefathers could see what we've got, if we could go back 100 years to our great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers, if they could see the houses we live in, we may not think we've got much according to the world's standards, but we're blessed. We are blessed today. People used to have to plant and work and scrape and do everything to make their own living, friend. They had to pray to God when they put the seed in the ground to ask Him to bless it and give them an increase. And when they sit down at their table to eat their food, they bowed their heads and they give God the thanks for it. How many times do we sit down to eat and never even look up and realize who set the food on our table? God help us. Pride goeth before destruction. Oh, listen, O Herod. He didn't realize that'd be his last day on the throne. He was fixing to get deposed. You know, the Bible tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We ought to be the most humble people in the world. Whenever we come to church, what do we come for? Worship. You know what it ought to do to me and you? To have the strength, the health, the means to get up them steps out yonder and walk in this building. It ought to humble us that God let us live, that He give us health and strength in a way to get to the house of God. Pride. Pride. We come to the house of God. We come to church supposedly to worship God. But we're so proud-hearted most of the time we don't even get what the preacher says. We got our mind out yonder in left field somewhere instead of on worshiping God. Better humble yourself. God knows how to bring you low. You remember old Belshazzar over in the Bible? His last party. Remember Daniel? When he came to him and he called for Daniel to interpret the handwriting on the wall. Before Daniel interpreted that handwriting, he went back and told him about his daddy, how God brought him low. And one of the things he said to him, he said, Belshazzar, you knew all these things. You knew it. You better listen to me now. Listen to me. Let's look at the example of Herod right here. He was eat up of worms. Belshazzar didn't learn a lesson from his daddy. We can learn a lesson from Herod right here, though. You better watch pride. But then there's the praise of man. In verse 20 and 22 down here it says, people gave a shout saying, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. We like to be praised by people, don't we? We like to be patted on the back. But you know what? Anything we do for the Lord is for His glory. It's not for my glory. It's not for your glory. It's for His glory. Well, we need to keep that in mind. And when man goes to praising you, friend, it ought to smite your heart. You ought to say, oh, give God the glory. Now listen to me. Brother Adam, you're a preacher. Any other preachers in here tonight? Now, When somebody delivers a message, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe somebody's singing a song, somebody comes up bragging on you, it ought to smite your heart and you ought to say, give God the glory. You don't have to, you may not say it to them, friend, but it ought to be in your heart that, Lord, I don't want no glory for me. It's all your glory, Lord. I remember a preacher used to preach here some. Every time I ever went up to him and said, that's good preaching, he'd say, oh, give God the glory. Oh, give God the glory. He's right. He's right. Without him, we can do nothing. The praise of man. The Bible says this in Isaiah 42 and 8. He said, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He's jealous. He's worthy of the praise. He's the one that done everything for us. We hadn't done anything for him worth 2 cents. He don't need me. He don't need you. He can knock me out of this pulpit, knock me flat of my face dead. He'd still be God. He'd still get all the glory, and nothing would ever stop. We ought to give him the glory. The praise of man. You know, it's not important what man says about you. What is important, though, is what God says about you. It's not important what a man thinks about you. It is important what God thinks about you. Listen, you better quit this thing of trying to please men. Quit trying to please men. Paul said this, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, I didn't come in here tonight to try to please you. If you're looking for somebody to tickle your ears tonight, I ain't much of a preacher. I didn't come here to try to please you tonight. I came with what the Lord laid on my heart right here to tell you, friend, look at the example of Herod and don't get caught up in the worms that he got caught up in. The pride, the pinnacle that he was set upon, the praise of man and the pleasing of man. Well, listen to me, friend. Verse number 3 says, because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. He was a man pleaser. You know what I could do? I could come in here with some little ear-tickling sermonette, preach to you about 15 minutes. That'd please some of you, wouldn't it? Huh? Wednesday night, y'all tired, you beat. Little 15-minute sermonette, boy, y'all be tickled to death. He saw it pleased the Jews, so after he killed James, he said, well, they like that. I'll just get old Peter and we'll cut his head off too. You better watch these men pleasers. The Word of God's quick and it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, friend. It's going to cut you. Dude, it does more cutting than it does fixing a lot of times, than it does healing. Because we're flesh. We're wicked. We're human. We're prone to wander from God. We need the Word of God to correct us, to rebuke us, to instruct us. And that takes a lot of cutting. The provoking of man. Verse 22. Verse 23. Immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. You know what happened to Herod? God drawed a line in the sand. There was a line. On one side of this line was, was mercy and grace. On the other side of this line was the wrath of God. He stepped over that line. And the angel of the Lord smote him. Killed him graveyard dead. You better watch that line in your life. You can go too far. Christians, God will burden your heart. But He'll also bury your carcass if you don't heed instruction. He'll bury you. Listen to me, I've seen it happen. There was a couple that was baptized the same day that me and my wife was baptized way back. Heard them give a testimony. No doubt in my mind they were saved. I've seen them stand up with God on them in church and testify. But you know what they done? They got out in the world. They buried down here on the side of this mountain now. Younger than me. Good bit younger than me. God won't go against His word for nobody. Do you know God won't go against His word for you? Nor for me? The passing of Herod. He was eaten of worms. Well, you say, well, Herod was an ungodly man. He was a lost man, and no doubt he went to hell. What about back in Acts chapter 4? What about Ananias and Sapphira? Pow! Lied to the Holy Ghost. God struck them down. Serious thing. The example of Herod. Can I tell you something? Notice that verse says, the angel of the Lord smote him. Can I tell you this tonight? Leaving the example of Herod right here, the angel of the Lord smote him. Can I tell you somebody's watching you? Can I tell you this? Somebody's listening to you. Can I tell you that somebody's writing all your doings down? There's an unseen host of angels, ministers to the saints, the Bible says. But there's also an unseen host of demons in this world. And they want to take over your life. Now next, the examining of self. The Bible says to judge yourself that you be not judged. I'm talking about now tonight, are you wormy? I'm talking about your spiritual life. Has anything crept into your spiritual life that's eating you up, that's taking you away from God and the things of God? Me and Sheila was watching TV the other night, and there was a black preacher on a preaching. He was doing a pretty good job. Got to watching him. And you know, they had the camera on him. And every once in a while, they'd swing it around there on the audience. And Sheila said, do people look like that when you're preaching? Wormy. Unconcerned. Had no idea what that poor preacher was saying. They'd be sitting there, some of them asleep, some of them fiddling with something. But you know how black folks are, they'd get in the amens. At least they'd give him that. Anyway, it wasn't a total deafness out there in the audience. Listen, I'm talking about the examining of self, the polluting of a man. Has any pollution entered into your life and you got worms? Some worm eating up your spiritual life? Any of them things about Herod? I'm telling you, friend, we live in a day of dirty things. The devil, man, he's done a good job of getting the filth out in this world today for us to feed on. And we like a bunch of dogs. We like filth. This flesh loves filthy things, and you have to watch yourself. We need a good Holy Ghost worming about every 30 minutes to clear our mind and get the filth and junk out of our life. Because the devil, he's got it out there to feed you. Coming through TV, coming through movies, coming through Facebook, coming through billboards. It's everywhere on magazine racks. The filth is out there, friends. You better watch your stinking flesh. It loves to feed on the filth of this world. But listen to me, you're not going to have a relationship with God and have a relationship with the junk of the devil. If you want to stay in fellowship with God, you're going to have to feed off of the things of God and reject the things of the devil. You listen to me. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your home. The devil wants to get you. He wants to get your children. Listen to me, daddies. He is after your children. And if you're gonna raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's gonna be a fight. It's gonna be a battle. And you're gonna have to dedicate your life to God. You're gonna have to get serious. It's gonna be a fight. It's gonna be a battle. And it just boils down to this. Do you want the things of the devil or do you want the things of God? Do you want the best for your children? Do you want them to grow up to be a better person, a better Christian than you are? I remember when I was a lost man, Brother Lee. My son, about 1 year old, I'd hold him. And I remember looking at him and looking at me. I was lost. I was wicked as hell itself. And I'd say, God, don't let him grow up to be like me. And I'm proud of him today. He's pastoring a church. A good preacher. But you know what? I've done my best to raise him right. I did my best to have him in church, to give him that foundation of faith that kids need. I tried my best to be an example to him, not a hindrance to him. When you're raising a child, we get to be parents, and we've never been parents before, and we don't know what we're doing. But if you follow this right here, there's instructions in there. Not just simply bringing them to church on Sunday, but living it at home. Teaching them at home. Praying with them at home. That's as important as anything you'll ever do for your kid. The polluting of a man. In the day that we live, no doubt in my mind, we're in the last days. The Lord said that because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. I can see that. You see that in your life? You on fire for God or you cold? You can come to church and you can be as cold as an icicle and dead as a graveyard and still saved. Needs to be an examining of self. You see, if you get to dabbling in the things of this world, you become a wormy Christian, a weak Christian. You'll even become a wicked Christian. A wicked Christian. Listen, a Christian that gets caught up in the things of this world, that's a bad example. Once we've named the name of Christ, we're to depart from iniquity. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's a man named Demas. He was at one time a companion with Paul, working with Paul, the greatest apostle. But Paul made this statement about him. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What about you? The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You better be careful. I'm trying to challenge you to examine yourself. You know what? I examine myself and I see rottenness. Rottenness. I want to humble myself. Ask God's forgiveness. Because of this, there's the examination of Herod, the examining of self. But then there's the examination of the Lord. I'm closing with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, listen to this scripture. Paul said in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God." How about that? Wonder what he thinks about us. Our labors together with Him. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. I'm talking about an examination of the Lord. Do you realize that you're going to stand before God one of these days? You're going to stand before the Lord and give an account? You're not going to get to bring your buddy up there, will you? And stand before the Lord. Friend, you're going to stand before Him and you're going to give an account of the deeds that you've done as a Christian. I don't know about you, but that scares me. That don't really excite me a lot. I've wasted so much of my life and things and opportunities I've wasted, friend. And you have too. But nevertheless, we're going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account. If we build gold, silver, precious stones, or we can build wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We're God's building, God's husbandry, God's partner. And one of these days, we'll stand before Him and we'll be examined by Him. You wormy tonight? Are you wormy? Herod was eaten by worms. You know old dogs get wormy. We're just old Gentile dogs saved by grace. You know they get heartworms. Hey, how about you? You got a heart problem tonight? Do you love the Lord as much as you ought to? As much as you used to? How's your love for God? Has heartworms got in there eating your heart out and got you cold on God and you just forgot about all that He does for you and all that He's done? How about stomach worms? Old dogs get stomach worms. Does it thrill you to come to church, or does it just sort of make you empty and sick? How about the Word of God? What kind of an effect does the Word of God have on you? Sick. Sick at your stomach. You know that there's worms that'll attack the brain? Amen. Wonder if worms hadn't got in our spiritual brain attacked us where we don't think as much of the things of God as we used to. You know, there's even worms that will attack the eye. I know a young boy now, that he's blind in one eye because he contracted a worm from a dog or a cat. It got in his bloodstream, went to his eye and blinded him. The devil left to blind you, get you to turn into the things of this world. I wonder tonight, you wormy, you weary, are you just coming to church for habit? Herod was eating the word. Don't let the devil eat your life up. He'd love for you to waste your life. You can get things right with God. Stand with us.